What matters to the right is discrediting anything that they believe harms their side. That's their prime directive. This mission drives their attack on all the institutions that form the foundation of the country they purport to love so dearly. This is their genius. They purport to want to fix things, but conservatives are not looking to make education more rigorous and informative, or science more empirical or verifiable, or voting more representative, or the government more efficient or effective. They just want all those things to reinforce their partisan ideological conservative view. Because in their minds, the opposite of bad isn't good. The opposite of bad is conservative. They judge solely on the level of conservative content in everything. It's their only litmus test. And you know the saddest part of all this? Republicans, conservatives are so relentless in their drive for ideological purity that those institutions they complain about continue to cave. 15 states have approved voter ID laws in the absence of any meaningful evidence of voter fraud. An Oklahoma State House committee voted to ban AP history for not sugarcoating slavery enough. Abstinence is approved sex education, and scientific fact isn't reported now, it's debated. So let's just stop. Let's stop pretending that these concessions to the right will at any point sate the beast.
That's right, John Boy. And he's absolutely right. I mean, we're seeing it now with the whole abortion issue. Remember? States' rights. States' rights. Oh, my God. They cried for decades about states' rights as far as abortion. And now you'd think they would have learned their lesson as they're losing support since Roe v. Wade was overturned out of nowhere. But now they're talking about a national ban. A national ban. So states' rights really, you know, they only care about states' rights when it's their states. Just like they only care about religion and religious freedom when it's their fucking religion. You know what I mean? I mean, it is just complete and total hypocrisy mixed in with just sheer fanaticism. Like we're going to talk about here first. Let me turn down Tool here. That was Descending before it had lyrics. See, Alabama, this whole IVF thing. Okay, you know, IVF, in vitro fertilization, chicks that are couples that are having problems getting pregnant. Often they freeze these embryos to see if they will be viable later, see if they'll work, because a lot of times first embryo doesn't take, you know, whatever. It may take a few of them to get it right. And, you know, I don't know, it's just, you freeze them, you keep them at the clinic, you use them. The ones that are unused, I don't even really know what they do with them, okay? But what happened was, in Alabama, some poor worker at one of those clinics fucking accidentally dropped a tray of frozen embryos, okay? Now, I understand you got to be careful in that job, and if I was the parents, yeah, I'd be pissed off, and there'd need to be a firing, and there need to be some financial compensation and all that stuff. But, of course, the way rednecks do, they take it too far, and now they have deemed that frozen embryos are now children.
Gabby Rodriguez, like so many others, is currently undergoing fertility treatment.
We're this very traditional family that just wants to have a kid.
But she's now on edge after the highest court in Alabama decided frozen embryos are children and people can be held legally responsible for destroying them.
Never seen so many backwards-ass country fucks in my life.
Yeah, I mean, what are they supposed to do with all of the ones that, okay, say you've got a couple has four embryos stored and the first one takes and pregnant. They don't need the other ones anymore. What are you supposed to do with them? I mean, and what are you going to tell these parents? This embryo here that's going to turn into a child, well, we're going to implant it in somebody else. So they're basically they're going to have their child that they never, I don't know, intended on using. It is also fanatically fucking crazy. And now again, because they don't think 2 seconds ahead, it is causing all kinds of problems for doctors, nurses interpreting this shit. The parents are now afraid to get in vitro fertilization in Alabama. Because they're like, well, what's going to happen with our other embryos and stuff like that? I'm just out there, you know. And what do they do if they're children? They can't destroy them. So what are they going to do with them? Keep them frozen forever? Hey, here's our big field of child popsicles in fucking backward-ass Alabama.
Rodriguez worries knowing doctors may find some of her embryos not viable.
I don't necessarily want to implant a child that I know is going to miscarry. So what does that mean? My main worry is, what are we going to do with the ones that are genetically abnormal, and what does this mean if my clinic shuts down?
The clinics are talking about it shutting down because they're not going to be fucking, they'll put you in jail for what, 10 years to life or whatever they're talking about, these ridiculous penalties, to back up their fanaticism. I don't know, man. A frozen embryo, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, you're talking, there is no nothing there. There is no heartbeat. There is no pain. There is no nothing. It's a popsicle of tissue. I mean, how could you possibly conceive that in your mind as a child? Do me a favor. Hold a frozen embryo in your left hand and hold an infant in your right by its ankle. And I'll put a gun to your head and I'll tell you to drop one. And we'll see which one everybody fucking drops. It's ridiculous.
Those questions tonight, all because of Friday's ruling in a wrongful death case where the Alabama Supreme Court found parents could sue an IVF clinic after their frozen embryos were dropped and destroyed.
Okay, fine. Like I said, they can sue them and stuff, but wrongful death? What if those embryos wouldn't have survived anyway? What if they were not viable? You can't even tell at that stage until they're implanted. These people, again, the stupid hillbillies don't think 3 seconds ahead. They don't think about everything either.
Imagine finding embryos on ice, no different than unborn children in the womb, have potentially massive ramifications when frozen embryos are regularly created and discarded as part of fertility treatment.
Yeah. Ultimately, patients will be harmed by this decision.
Dr. Mamie McLean, a fertility specialist in Alabama, says she's been fielding calls and emails over the court decision with no easy answers.
Yeah.
We're concerned that with the new ruling, we may have to limit fertilization of eggs, which will limit success of treatment, limit efficiency, increased cost, and of course, risk to patients.
Of course, they don't care about any of that because it's the biblical thing to do for some reason. I don't know. I mean, and again, these fuckers then don't give a shit about these kids after they're born or their mothers. They never give a shit about the mothers, but then they stop giving a shit after the thing is born or frozen, I guess, in this case.
While the decision is a first of its kind, other states like Florida now considering laws allowing parents,
what a shock,
to bring similar wrongful death claims. Uh-huh. Others debating bills defining life to begin at the moment of fertilization.
Yeah.
I've never envisioned that anybody would question the morality of IVF.
Yeah.
And now it's very scary.
And now it's here because, again, we are one step closer to being like the Middle fucking East. Ignorant barbarians who base everything on religion, you know, backed up with guns and misogyny. Fucking just like the Middle East. Just like them. Another step, which brings us to Pennsylvania. You know, I don't know. Judges used to be the best of our society, the smartest. the ones who make good decisions. That's why they got to where they are. Their decision making, the way they think, stuff like that, being able to control their emotions, everything that goes along with that. I don't know. Not only do a lot of them lose their minds on the bench these days with some of these fucking rulings. And I mean, another thing, when I watch all these body cam videos, police videos at the end, these people who attack police and who put people's lives in danger are constantly just let off with probation or the case is dismissed. I mean, there is no punishment for these people. So why the fuck would you stop doing that? It's no big deal to do this shit. I mean, I just don't understand how these prosecutors and judges let so many people off the hook so easily, and because they're not learning anything. But that doesn't just apply to criminals anymore. It applies to judges, too.
Court documents say Magisterial District Judge Sonia McKnight shot her ex-boyfriend in the head while he slept.
This country is going straight to hell.
A judge shot her ex-boyfriend while he slept. Isn't that nice?
been left blind in at least one eye, according to authorities.
At least one eye, at most two.
McKnight is accused of attempted murder and aggravated assault. She was unable to post $300,000 bail, according to court records.
What? That's only 30 grand. She's a judge? What the fuck does she do with all her money?
Police say McKnight's ex-boyfriend had recently broken up with her and wanted her to move out of his Susquehanna Township home around 1 a.m.
And her judgment was to go there and shoot him in the head and then make up this bullshit story. Listen to this.
On Saturday, police say McKnight's ex-boyfriend awoke with massive head pain and was unable to see, while she allegedly...
Yeah, he didn't know that he had been shot. You know, that's amazing. I've never heard of that. Someone gets shot and continues sleeping and then wakes up. It's like that movie with Kevin Kline and Tracy Ullman. I forgot the name. I Love You to Death, I think it was called. And the guy, he didn't read Joey, you know, Keanu Reeves. He didn't know he was shot. You know, that movie. And then he made the bottles of love. But the guy didn't know he was shot. He wakes up blind in one eye, massive headache. And this is what the judge tells him.
We asked him, what did he do to himself?
Yeah.
The ex-boyfriend was adamant he did not shoot himself.
Yeah, so what did you do to yourself? She's trying to convince him. She's trying to convince him that he shot himself.
You imbecile. Don't be an imbecile.
Yeah, well, that's a very imbecilic judge because, like, especially, I mean, was the guy, like, depressed? Was he having suicidal thoughts? And was he having a normal night? I mean, all of a sudden he's just, hey, you wake up with a, you're having a normal day. You wake up with a headache. You're blind in one eye. What did you do? I'd be like, the fuck are you talking about? I'm fucking shooting myself. Why would I do that? It's lame. This is the best a judge can come up with.
Police say while calling 911, McKnight could not explain what happened and that she was sleeping and heard him screaming. But investigators came to the conclusion she pulled the trigger.
Yeah, because you know why? Because there are cameras everywhere, and it caught this bitch on camera leaving her house or whatever. I don't know.
Location of the wound being one of the big factors here.
Yeah, she shot him from a foot away. I mean, if you're going to make it seem like somebody shot themselves, you got to put the barrel right up to their fucking temple. You can't shoot them from a foot away. No one's going to take their arm and put it a foot away and shoot themselves. What an idiot.
A gunshot wound to the head pretty clearly gives you a indication of someone's intent. So the charge is appropriate, we believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Police said a gun registered by McKnight was used in the shooting and that a license plate reader and Ring doorbell footage contradicted part of McKnight's account of the evening, leading investigators to say her interview was deceptive. Additionally, an investigating officer wrote in charging documents that McKnight tested positive for gunshot residue on her hand.
Oh, brilliant. So she didn't even put on any gloves or scrub the fuck out of her hands or anything. This is a judge, huh? This is supposed to be one of the smartest of her population. Hilarious.
McKnight was already suspended for unrelated reasons prior to this. State Judicial Conduct Board had alleged a number of counts of misconduct by McKnight that led to her suspension without pay. Tom Lehman, WGAL News 8.
How in the hell was she still on the bench? How did she even get on it with this kind of, I don't understand how people like this slip through the fucking cracks. With this kind of decision-making, this didn't come up at all during any of her vetting or interviews or whatever. Like, so, oh boy, this chick's dumb. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe she's just dumb when she's trying to cover up a murder. I don't know. Just the fact that she got to that point. A judge. Chipping away. I'm telling you. And another indication of the chipping away of our society, the way a lot of these high schools are now these days. Not only do teachers not want to teach, bus drivers don't want to drive them to them from school. Okay, Brockton, Massachusetts, which has a population of about 100,000 people, I think it said. Yeah, 105,000. Okay, I grew up in a town with 75,000, you know, and we often went to the neighboring town. I was raised in Schaumburg. And next to it is Hoffman Estates, Illinois. And that had about 40,000 people. So that's about 120. I mean, we'd be all over Schaumburg and Hoffman. It was all, you know, there's about five high schools in the area. This place, 105,000 people. And they've got high schools, especially this one that is like, remember that movie The Principal with John Belushi from, or Jim Belushi from 87? Brandel, Brandex High School. Well, that's what this one is like. In this day and age, I mean, they still have high schools like this where it's impossible to learn or get an education for all the other students. And these motherfuckers are selling drugs, beating the fuck out of each other, killing each other, everything.
Four members of the Brockton School Committee wrote this letter urging Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey to deploy National Guardsmen to the high school and other buildings.
Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not sure if that's the solution. National Guard. I mean, that's uniformed, armed, you know, maybe a security force. I mean, high schools, especially if they're ones like this, put a small little team, like, I don't know, six officers, give them all the SWAT shit, but, you know, keep it hidden away from the kids and unless they need it. You know, a lot of these kids, they know they can beat the fuck out of these teachers and they're not afraid to do it anymore. You know, yeah, there were teachers I could have beat the fuck out of in high school. It wouldn't even cross my mind to physically attack one of my teachers. Okay, yeah, we got into fights, but we didn't try and kill each other. And, you know, and usually it was over something. It wasn't just over nothing like all these fuckers fight over these days. But short of that, something should be done short of the National Guard, but something does need to be done.
They say recent chaos is disrupting precious learning time.
But where we are in the city of Brockton, with the deficit that created this mess, we're looking for support with the National Guard to come in and act as substitute teachers, hall monitors.
Substitute teachers? Well, they don't know how to teach. I mean, come on, I know subs can just say read chapter 4 or whatever. That's all you're going to get? I mean, you know. You know, there are some pretty good substitute teachers out there. For whatever reason, they can't work full time as a teacher. Those are people that just love teaching. I don't know about substitute teachers, but like I said, the presence of the National Guard would really. I don't know if you're gonna do that just for a little while, and if it starts to slide back, I don't know. I would just go with a small security force of your own in the high school.
Mayor Robert Sullivan released a statement saying he's been talking with the police chief. He blames state rules and regulations that prevent school staff from maintaining order, saying national.
Well, they can't maintain order anymore anyway, unless they got a thing of bear spray right there on their desk. I mean, these fuckers come out of nowhere. I've seen so many videos on YouTube. These students just walk up and fucking crack them, you know, sometimes when they're not even looking. These people are animals, okay, that do this shit. There's no way that you're going to control an animal unless you use animalistic tactics.
Guard soldiers are not the answer. We've had school police working effectively and safely at the high school for decades.
Obviously not, because they're calling on the National Guard, so it's not all hunky-dory, man.
School committee asking for the National Guard, Governor Maura Healey's office tells NBC 10, our administration is committed to ensuring that schools are safe and supportive environments for students, educators, and staff.
Okay, well, they're not, so.
We are aware of concerns raised about Brockton High School and are in touch with local officials.
Yeah, great. That's all these fuckers ever say. We're aware of the problem and we're working on it. Meanwhile, nothing gets solved.
I think the plea to bring in soldiers is hurting the school's reputation.
The things that are going on right now.
How about the fact that everybody's calling on the National Guard to come to their high school, ruining their fucking reputation? Are you kidding me with this?
Talking about really overshadows what's amazing about our school, and I really hope.
Yeah, great. You're just like a sports team. You're only as good as your weakest member. I'm sure there are a lot of amazing things about the school, but it could be even more amazing if you get rid of this fucking element, or at least keep it under control. Yes, I know, just kicking kids out of high school will turn them instantly into criminals, but I don't know. You got to send them somewhere. One of those detention high school camps or something like that. High school is the only place where the whole school system is really the only place, but it doesn't get really dangerous till high school, where it's like prison. You are mixed in with people that you have no control over being mixed in with. I mean, you know, you go for a job or you know, you pick your friends. You can get along. This is like these people are forced to be together. You can't get away from them. And since they're minors, there's really no protection here, which is why they're so bullied. You can't go to human resources or anything. You go to a teacher. It ain't going to do shit, especially with these motherfuckers. They'll just get you outside of school, you know, so that's why I hated school, man. I'm like, God, I wouldn't have anything to do with any of these fucking people if I wasn't forced to be here. And, you know, it sucks. That's why as an adult, you know, I'm I love it. I'm like, people say high school was the best days of the fuck that. Yeah, I had a lot of fun partying and shit, but it was terrible.
And while nearly everyone agrees something needs to be done, many people don't think troops are the answer.
Yeah, well.
One parent tells me she suggests adding more schools to the area to break up the nearly 3,600 high school students that go here.
Well,
I'm in Brockton, Joanna Boris, NBC 10 News.
We had about 3,000 in our graduating class. And like I said, the two cities, Schaumburg and Hoffman Estates, we had, let's see, I went to Schaumburg, then there was Conant High School, Hoffman Estates High School, St. Vider and Sacred Heart, the two Catholic private schools, and I think that was it. You had basically four, because one, the St. Vider, I think, was for boys and Sacred Heart was for girls. So you basically had four for each, with about 120,000. So, that might be a solution. More schools, break them up a little bit. You're still going to have these problems. It is easier to control, though, when there isn't so many, so... The bottom line is...
Fucking little motherfucking sons of bitches!
Yeah, who are not raised properly, who don't respect any authority. It's gotten so out of control. These kids, I mean, they treat authority figures like they are a complete nuisance. Like they're stupid, a stupid fucking nuisance out there that they can talk to however they want, do whatever they want to them, and everything like that. Ignore them if they choose to ignore them. And, when it comes down to it, then they'll throw down. And it's fucking ridiculous, man. I mean, this all starts at home. You are either taught to respect people like teachers and police until they don't deserve it, or you're not. The line is where they don't deserve it is what's getting blurred here. Someone tells you to turn off your phone in class, they don't deserve to get their head bashed in by you. Like I said, out of control, chipping away. And another thing out of control, here we go again. There's this 3 weeks in a row now with this migrant bullshit in New York, okay? And I know that, again, this is a small percentage of the people coming over, but it's a big enough percentage to matter. Not only that, but just imagine being like a family member, loved one of someone who gets killed by one of these fuckers, okay? The bite of it is that they shouldn't be here. And if the government or whoever, the politicians, anybody would do their jobs, they wouldn't be there. And your loved one would still be alive. Somehow it makes it worse when it's somebody who shouldn't be here. When it's another American citizen, you're like, okay, well, this is our country. He's a citizen. This is what we have to deal with. But when it's somebody who comes from outside, from somewhere else, especially these motherfuckers, especially ones like this little fuck we're about to talk about, that just come here solely to commit crimes, just to commit crimes and wreak as much havoc as possible. The sting is 10 times worse than if it was just one of your countrymen. It just is. And this percentage that we're talking about here, as the percentage of migrants increases, the percentage of this increases. So it is increasing at a very fast rate. And like I said, these people have found this country to be fertile land to start new criminal enterprises, doing the same things they did. Now, they're not wanted here. wanted meaning by the law, wanted here. They're not wanted here. The cops don't know them. The multiple fucking IDs and organized crime cells here. And they're like, holy shit, this is the American dream right here.
Marwin Gomez Izquierdo was taken back to court in handcuffs for the second time in less than 3 weeks.
God damn it!
Yeah, the second time in less than 3 weeks. Guess what? This is one of the fuckers who was kicking and beating those officers in Times Square, who Alvin Bragg decided to let out without any fucking bail. And you wonder why Republicans say you're soft on crime? Well, you fucking are. How on earth could you make that type of decision to let those... You talk about a flight risk... Some of them are still in California. They don't know where they are. Okay? This guy, he's one of them. And then he's back in your own city in 3 weeks robbing other people.
Now accused of a robbery. Remorseful? Maybe it looked like that at first.
Yeah, because they brought him out in cuffs and he was crying. And then as soon as he got in the car and he saw a camera...
Look a little closer. The 19-year-old repeat offender cracked a smile once inside the back of the cop car.
Oh, God.
It's like a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just keeps getting worse and worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the fact that they are laughing at this country, look how easy it is for me to come in here and do this to you people. And then I get busted beating on your fucking public servants, your police, and I'm out again in a couple weeks. I'm robbing again. Now look at me, huh? Big smile across his face. Oh, my God. I hope he gets hit by a fucking New York City bus.
The Police Benevolent Association at Queens Court with one demand.
That the judge finally keeps this individual behind bars.
Yeah.
Where he belongs.
None of these motherfuckers should be let out on bail. None of them. If you're a fucking migrant and you're claiming you're coming here to make a better life and you start committing crimes all over the place, or even one crime, while you're waiting, this fucker claimed asylum, okay? I mean, you get put in jail and you stay there, okay? Now your trust is gone, okay? No more trust. Not trusting you, okay? You come here and within fucking days or weeks or months or whatever, you commit crimes. No, you put them in jail and you keep them there until you find out what. And really, there's nothing else to find out. Anyone who's that brazen to come here and claim asylum and want a better life and fucking starts breaking the law immediately over and over and over again, get them the fuck out.
You'll remember Gomez Izquierdo from this melee with police in Times Square last month.
Yeah, he was the one in the orange pants kicking the cop in the fucking head and back.
A group of migrants throwing punches and kicks as a lieutenant and officer tried to make an arrest. Gomez Izquierdo, seen there in the orange hat throwing a kick, one of seven indicted by a Manhattan grand jury last week. But he was already back out on the streets at that point.
Yep.
One of several young men charged in the attack released without bail early in the investigation.
Without bail? They should have no bail. They shouldn't be released at all. There should be no bail. They shouldn't even be able to try and come up with the payment. I know they probably can't, but still, there should be no bail.
Two are now in federal custody, the move still drawing criticism. Governor Hochul today.
I've said all along that I thought that bail should have been requested.
Yeah, well, it's because Alvin Bragg's a fucking idiot. Obviously, he's a fucking idiot. Obviously, you make a decision like that at this time, knowing what this country, that city, is going through with all the migrant and the busing. You make a decision like that, you are an incompetent fucking fool.
Given the severity of what they did.
Less than 3 weeks since the assault on the cops, Gomez Izquierdo was arrested again early this morning. Police say part of this robbery crew who stole $600 worth of clothes from a Queens Macy's last night.
And that's what's happening. There are little crews all over the place being funded by those fuckers who stay in their country. And then they steal all the shit, steal all the money, send it back to them. They get paid. They get to stay here. The fucking crime lords get to reap the benefits, sell the shit, well, whatever. making a joke out of this country.
One of the suspects allegedly punched a security guard in the face. The court system facing increasing scrutiny.
Yeah.
Every minute that they're out in the streets of the city of New York is a worry that every New Yorker has to worry about.
And again, this just reinforces what Texas has been going through. Places like El Paso. I mean, if New York can't handle it, can you imagine? That's our biggest city. If they can't handle it with all their money and resources, you know, how are little towns, smaller towns, supposed to handle this shit? So again, you know, Republicans were right on this issue, but since Trump told them not to, they don't give a fuck about the border until Election Day.
All eyes are now on the judge in the Queens case.
And we've been talking to the Office of Court Administration about training our judges about what the new bail laws.
Training? They have to train the judges about the bail laws. Isn't that nice? They have to be trained. Gee, I thought you had all the training you need before you became a judge. You know, I mean, there's been immigration before, okay, for decades. So what, all of a sudden, I don't know what's going on with this no bail, low bail, whatever, all this bullshit where they just keep letting these fuckers back out on the streets to reoffend.
And there's a lot of talk about judge discretion. The PBA says, well, the judge in this case should use their discretion to understand that more than one crime now has been committed by the same person, and they hope that justice will somehow prevail tonight.
Yeah, and that's just, well, again, one, like he said, one person. You know how many of these crews are out there now? I mean, there's a lot of them, a significant number. Again, I don't care what the percentage is, okay? They shouldn't be here. They're here, and they're turning little pockets of this country, little bit at a time, into their own shithole countries. Yeah, they are shithole countries. That's why they're leaving them. So, I don't know, man. Fucking disgusting. All right, what do we got next year? Oh, yeah. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Alexei Navalny is dead. Gee, who saw this coming?
Tonight, the stunning reports of Alexei Navalny's death prompting mourners across...
And I don't know why they're not using the word murder, his murder, because that's what happened. I mean, everybody fucking knows. How many people have to say things about Putin and die mysteriously before the news, everybody just says flat out, you know, murder. Some of them do, but a lot of them sugarcoat it like this, his death. No, it was his murder.
Russia to brave arrest, but few were surprised by his death after his years-long opposition towards Vladimir Putin. Just yesterday.
And this is who Tucker Carlson loves. I'm sure he popped a bottle of champagne when he heard about Navalny's death. You know, the champagne that he bought at the Russian grocery store where he only spent $100, where he would have to spend $400 in the U.S. Yeah, well, that's because Russians only make about $200 a month, you stupid fuck.
Navalny was seen via video link from one of the harshest penal colonies in Russia's Arctic Circle.
Imagine being in prison in the Arctic Circle, knowing that any day it could be your last, because that's what Putin does. He waits about 6 months, a year, so it doesn't look like immediate retaliation. And then all of a sudden, poof, all of his enemies die. And this is who Trump loves. And this is who Trump loves his ruling style. And this is the guy who criticizes Biden for treating his political opponent. Opponents unfairly. Yeah, he treats them unfairly. Why didn't he just kill him like me? That's what he should say.
The 7-year-old appeared gaunt, but seemingly healthy, and was even joking during a court hearing with the judge. Just hours later, yeah. Russian officials say Navalny fell ill after a walk in the prison and lost consciousness.
Yeah, and they took him away in a van, and they fucking poisoned his ass. And that's why now, to add insult to injury, this little fucker Putin, this little midget commie fucker, is not even releasing the body to his wife. You know why? Because they're waiting for the poison to dissipate. So when someone finally does an independent autopsy, they won't be able to really tell how he died. You know, this is this one was a little more complicated than just quote unquote falling out of a window. That guy is just, he's pure evil. Pure evil, Putin is.
They claim doctors spent 30 minutes trying to revive him before he was pronounced dead, saying the cause of his death was now, quote, being established.
Uh-huh.
At the White House today, President Biden left no doubt who was to blame.
Make no mistake. Putin is responsible for Navalny's death. Putin is responsible.
Navalny's...
Well, at least he said it.
...wife Yulia was in Munich, Germany today attending a security conference and...
I tell you, I'd do his wife, too.
...urged world leaders to hold Putin personally responsible.
And Vladimir Putin.
She received a standing ovation.
You know, I don't mind hearing Russians speak Russian. I just don't like hearing Russians speak English. I mean, the Russian language, I don't have a problem with that. But when they go to speak English is where I have the problem. Like, if those porn stars would just speak in Russian while they were getting fucked, I'd watch those Russian porn scenes. But I can't watch them because they speak English.
Navalny has been the target of numerous attacks and attempts on his life over the years, most notoriously in 2020 when he fell ill aboard a flight from Siberia, moaning in agony.
Yeah, you got to hand it to this fucking guy. I mean, balls of steel. Balls of steel to sit there and keep. He went back into Russia. He could have stayed out of the country and stayed alive, but you talk about believing in the cause, and his wife now is taking up the mantle. I mean, she might as well put she's got a sign on her now that says, "Hey, Putin, kill me," because she's going to be next. Maybe if both the couple both die, someone will try and hold Putin accountable, but they can't. You know, they just can't. He runs that country with an iron fist. Anybody who says anything gets put in jail or and potentially murdered, depending on if they're a significant threat or not. So what are you going to do? See, that's actual tyranny. That's an actual dictator. You know, like people like to say here that Obama was a tyrant and Biden is a tyrant. You have no fucking idea what tyranny really is.
Poisoned by the deadly nerve agent Novichok. Mm-hmm. Navalny miraculously
and he survived, yeah.
Miraculously recovered after treatment in Germany, but decided to return to Russia, knowing full well the risk he faced as Putin's fiercest critic.
I mean, like I said, that's balls of steel and believing in your cause, but wouldn't you be able to, I don't know, further it by staying alive? I guess if you're not in the country, though, what can you do? That's a tough situation when your ideology is that of someone dedicated like this. But, you know, these are the people who shake up the world, who make change, you know, if they're not snuffed out.
The news of Navalny.
But even if they are snuffed out, sometimes they still do.
His death, Putin appeared in public today, but said nothing of it, smiling and appearing to be in high spirits.
Now, why wouldn't he say nothing of it? He had nothing to do with it. Why wouldn't he, I don't know, express condolences or just give a standard report on what he has heard so far or whatever? Gee, I wonder why.
Over the years, Putin's critics have had a way of winding up dead. Just last August, the head of the mercenary Wagner group, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who once marched his forces towards Moscow, was killed when a suspected bomb blew his plane out of the sky.
Yeah, and he killed a bunch of other people on the. There was other people on that plane, too. I don't know if they were all involved in it, but something tells me that Putin wouldn't hesitate to kill a couple of innocents in order to get the mark.
Navalny knew he could face a similar fate and was asked what his message would be if he wound up dead. He said, "You're not allowed to give up. If they decide to kill me, it means that we are incredibly strong. Yeah. We need to utilize this power to not give up."
Well, hey, let's give him a round, man. That was one brave motherfucker. I'll tell you, to risk his life like that for his country, that's the ultimate in public service, you know what I mean? And then we get to Trump, who is pretty much the opposite of this guy here, because that guy had total integrity where Trump has none. Case in point.
Tonight, Donald Trump addressing Alexei Navalny's death for the first time, but without criticizing Vladimir Putin.
Oh, of course. How is he going to criticize Putin? He loves the guy. He wants to be like Putin. I mean, if Trump had his way, folks, you really don't think that if he had the same powers in America as Putin has in Russia, that he wouldn't have had Nancy Pelosi killed or Chuck Schumer killed or Adam Schiff killed, or he would have had Mike Pence killed for disloyalty. Anyone who was disloyal, Liz Cheney. She would have been killed, you know, imprisoned at least, you know, but this is how he thinks it should be. You know, he respects Vladimir Putin for some reason. Whenever he mentions dictators, look how they rule with an iron fist. They got no crime over there. They got to because they kill people or put them away forever.
Instead, Trump comparing Navalny's death to his own political problems.
Oh, God.
You piece of subhuman shit.
Are you kidding me? Have you ever been poisoned, Trump? Have you ever spent any time in an Arctic prison? Huh? I mean, can you believe this guy? The narcissist in him, it's never ending. Everything is about him. See, Navalny, just like me, just like me. I don't know. There's been so much shit that comes out of that anus-shaped mouth of his. Has he ever compared himself to Jesus? You know, it wouldn't surprise me. And the evangelicals would just brush it right off, you know. But I don't know. I mean, everything. He's just like me. Yeah, right. First of all, there is no evidence Biden is behind anything. Four different grand juries indicted him in four different jurisdictions, one of them being Florida. What does E. Jean Carroll have to do with Biden? I mean, just because he defrauded the state of New York and the attorney general said, yeah, I'm going to come after him because she knew he did it because she had the evidence, you know, even she knew. everybody knew business Trump's business practices in New York before that. I don't know. Back in the 80s and 90s, it was just like, I don't know, ignored or whatever. But when she came into office, she knew. And she vowed to get all the fraudsters. And, yeah, she named them. And because it was obvious that he's one of them. But that's as far as it gets, as far as political persecution. Are you kidding? And that's state persecution anyway. That's for the citizens of New York.
Trump writing, "The sudden death of Alexei Navalny has made me more and more aware of what is happening in our country." Claiming,
So does that mean he thinks that Biden is like Putin? That Biden is a ruthless dictator? I mean, or is he acknowledging that Putin is? Because if he's saying, "Oh my God, look how he's treated, look what happened to this guy," well, then why do you respect the leader who ordered it? Oh, why would you? You can't have it both fucking ways. Asshole.
Rigged elections and grossly unfair courtroom decisions are destroying America.
Yeah.
Navalny is a very sad situation, and he's very brave. He was a very brave guy because he went back. He could have stayed away. And frankly, probably would have been a lot better off staying away and talking from outside of the country as opposed to having to go back in because...
Well, we know that you would never do anything like that. Mr. Bone Spurs, right? Wouldn't even go to Vietnam to protect his country. But
he should have stayed away, stayed alive.
He has a point. But again, I think if you're talking outside the country, you're not going to really affect what goes on inside the country, especially since Putin controls the media.
People thought that could happen, and it did happen, and it's a horrible thing. But it's
people thought that that could happen, and it did happen, huh? Oh, so then they know who Putin is and what his makeup is and how he rules. People like you and Tucker Carlson, but you still love him for some reason, huh? How do you square that?
Happening in our country.
It's a terrible thing, but I love the guy who did it. What a jerk off.
Yeah. We are turning into a communist country in many ways. And if you look at it, I'm the leading candidate. I get indicted. I never heard of being indicted before.
I've never heard of being indicted before.
You idiot!
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about? I knew what indicted meant when I was in fucking early in high school, if not in junior high. Indicted. Yeah, it's an indictment. What? I've never heard of being indicted.
I've been indicted four times. I have 8 or 9 trials, all because of the fact that I'm, and you know this, all because of the fact that I'm in politics.
No, it's all because of the fact that you're a fucking con artist criminal, and you always have been. And I love the shit when he spews, if this could happen to me, it could happen to you. Well, no, the regular citizens don't defraud New York for over a decade out of, hundreds of millions of dollars. Regular citizens don't have access to classified documents and keep them at their resort and then stymie the FBI when they ask for them. Regular citizens don't fucking grab them by the pussy and are found civilly liable for sexual assault. Regular citizens don't call secretaries of state and threaten them with prison if they don't find them fucking the votes they need to win. Okay, no, this can't happen to them. It happens to you because you did it, and you're the only one who's done it. Regular citizens don't have cults behind them and don't let them attack the Capitol and encourage them and tell them they love them after they did it and call them hostages and everything else as they claim to love law enforcement and everything else. Oh, what a bunch of fucking horse shit.
Trump has faced days of scathing criticism from opponent Nikki Haley for refusing to condemn Putin.
I don't know why he keeps getting weak in the knees when it comes to Russia.
Because that's how he wants to be. He thinks that's the way you should rule. He would give Kim Jong-un a Rolls Royce like Putin did. Kim Jong-un starves half of his fucking country and puts another third of them in prison. And, they're totally broke. This is who
we fell in love with,
this fucking idiot.
Haley campaigning on Trump's history of praising Putin. Years of comments like that moment on the world stage when Trump said he takes Putin at his word, including when Russia was accused of meddling in U.S. elections.
President Putin, he just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
Yeah, I remember this. First of all, you don't see any reason why it would be? Why Russia would want to destabilize America and their elections? Okay, but then a lot of people forget this. The next day, Trump issued a statement. His administration said he misspoke. And he meant to say, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. You know, see, he puts out so much sludge out there that you forget a lot of the little things. And this is his plan, you know, to be as chaotic and stupid thousands and thousands of times so you forget shit. You know, I mean, his administration said the next day, I don't know why it wouldn't be. Don't know why it wouldn't be Russia. That's what they said he meant to say, which is, again, horse shit.
On the trail, Trump blasting his latest legal blow, a New York judge finding him liable for fraud, ordering him to pay $355 million.
It's a horrible, horrible thing that's taking place.
Today, Trump's attorney saying the former president will be able to cover the penalty's massive bond payment.
Without liquidation, I don't know. We'll see. If he's a billionaire, multi-billionaire, like he says he is, he should be able to cover it easily. Why is he asking for an extension as of this morning, huh? Why does he need an extension? Because he's got to liquidate.
In 30 days, even if we choose to appeal this, which we will, we have to post the bond, which
is that Hadar Haba, whatever her name is, the worst fucking attorney in America.
Is the full amount and some, we will be prepared to do that.
Okay. She wouldn't say if Trump would have to liquidate assets to cover the fine, but insists he has the money.
He's strong, he's resilient, and he happens to have a lot of cash.
We'll see how much cash he has.
Days until the South Carolina.
Because if he's got a lot of cash, he shouldn't have to liquidate anything, right?
In a primary with Nikki Haley trailing behind Donald Trump by more than 30 points in her home state.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't care. I love that Nikki Haley is just being a constant thorn in his side at this point. I love her for that, just for that alone.
And Haley's campaign says tomorrow she'll be giving a speech in South Carolina on the state of the presidential race.
Great.
Tonight's ruling strikes at the heart of Donald Trump's...
Okay, so a little bit now in the detail about this $355 million ruling against this idiot.
...image carefully crafted for decades. The former president fined a staggering $355 million and banned from doing business for 3 years in New York, the city where he built his fortune and made his name. The judge determining Trump flagrantly overvalued his signature properties in order to get favorable bank loans and insurance rates, things everyday Americans would never get away with.
And these everyday Americans who are part of his cult, oh, that's what all businessmen do. Imagine if Biden had been caught doing this, or Obama, or anybody. They'd call for their heads on a spit. They'd say how corrupt they are. Corruption. Look at this liar. This goes towards his character, his integrity. If he does this, what else can he do? That's what they would say if it was a Democrat with Trump. No, he's smart. He's a smart businessman, they say. Those dumb motherfucking rubes.
Donald Trump may have authored the art of the deal, but he perfected the art of the steal.
She's a horrible speaker. She sounds so melodramatic.
Today. The court, once again, ruled in our favor and in favor of every hardworking American who plays by the rules.
The most high-profile examples of fraud, the Trump Tower penthouse. The Trump Organization inflated its value by some $200 million, declaring it was 30,000 square feet. But Trump signed a document certifying it's a third that size, 11,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. And while Trump claimed his Mar-a-Lago resort was worth up to $600 million, its true assessed value was no more than $27 million.
Yeah, when I saw that and he said it was worth $600 million, I watch, what's that guy's name? He's Latino. His name, N.S. Yilmazar or something like that. He's like one of the top real estate agents in the world. Just deals in high-end fucking property, like the richest properties everywhere. And I see his videos, and I see him walk through, and he gives tours, and he talks about all the fixtures and blah, blah. And I'm like, there is no way. I see these houses he goes through and see the price tag, and then I see Mar-a-Lago. I've seen Mar-a-Lago. I've seen documentary on it, inside, blah, blah, blah. And, there's a lot of gold in there, but there is no way. There is no way it is worth the fucking, like these houses that I'm talking about here that are hundreds of millions of dollars. There's just no way. You look at it and you're like, well, that's not, it just can't be possible, His house is worth about as much as Ozzy's fucking house, not $600 million.
Today, Judge Arthur Engoron writing Trump's complete lack of contrition and remorse borders on pathological, calling...
His whole thought process is pathological. That's what a fucking massive narcissist is, pathological.
Trump incapable of admitting the error of his ways.
Uh-huh.
The former president attended 10 days of the trial.
trial was ridiculous.
Oh, why? He didn't even have to. It's keeping me from campaigning. I can't campaign. These are all campaign stops for him. Every one of them. And it's bolstered his support. So how then, on the other hand, does he claim that it hurts him, the fucking piece of shit?
And on the witness stand, he attacked Judge Ngoren to his face, complaining, this is a very unfair trial.
Smart. I mean, everybody, you know everybody who's been to court, right? When they attack the judge, you call them smart, right? And tough, right? Or do you go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you talking to the judge? Are you stupid? Are you stupid or what?
In his ruling today, the judge knocked Trump's testimony for long, irrelevant speeches, adding his refusal to answer the questions directly or in some cases at all severely compromised his credibility.
That's all he does is word salads, because then you can't pin him down on anything. It's like you got to be a surgeon to do it. I mean, it's not that difficult, but you do have to meticulously go over each second because he bounces around. The inside of his head is like a fucking pinball machine.
The judge today also punishing Trump's two eldest sons, Eric and Don Jr., who Trump entrusted with the company when he was president. Both brothers had testified.
Yeah, and that's a load of shit. Like every decision didn't go through Trump. They just couldn't do it officially on paper. I mean, Dad, what do I do about this? Dad, what would you do? Fozzie Bear, Don Jr.
Dad, I don't know what to do here.
And then Eric, you know, he's the Fredo of that family. You don't trust him to do shit. So, every decision went through Trump. I mean, everybody knows that.
But all they did was sign documents their accountants prepared, insisting they didn't check what was actually in them.
Okay, well then that's your fucking fault, asshole. If you're signing off on this shit, you got to know what's in them, huh? How about going fewer hunting trips to Africa where you're killing fucking innocent majestic animals for fun, and read the goddamn documents, you little motherfuckers.
Whoever was bringing me a document, if it was more accounting, it was probably from accounting. If it was more legal, it would be from legal, and I'd... Hey, like, are we okay signing this document? Do you believe it to be honest and accurate? And if they were okay with it, they'd have much more knowledge.
That's a very stupid way to run a business. It is. It's a very stupid way to run a business. You have got to dot all your I's and cross all your T's if the buck stops with you, these fucking morons.
Eric Trump testifying, I don't think I'd be so nitty-gritty that I focused on details like this.
Oh, yeah. Why focus on details when you're running a multi-billion-dollar corporation? Details, just details. What a couple of fools.
This is just not what an executive at my level focuses on.
Oh.
But Judge Ngoren didn't buy it, fining Trump's sons $4 million each and banning them from doing business in New York for 2 years. Declaring that without...
I wonder how much those two have. I mean, I'm sure their salaries are millions a year, so probably ain't going to hurt them. Not as much as the fine against Trump, because I don't think he's got the billions he claims he does.
A significant penalty, Trump and his sons would be likely to continue their fraudulent ways.
Mm-hmm.
Moments ago, Trump lashing out.
It's a very sad day for, in my opinion, the country. A crooked New York state judge just ruled that I have to pay a fine.
All of these trials, every judge is crooked. Every prosecutor is crooked and corrupt. They're all incompetent. They're all liars. You know, he is the only one telling the truth about everything. Been treated very unfairly. I mean, again, if this was anyone else in your life, folks, basically, and you knew them, if this was your friend or your relative or your coworker, you'd be like, you are completely full of shit. But for some reason, he gets away with it with this fucking army of dumb fucks.
Fine of $355 million for having built a perfect company.
What does that mean? What is a perfect company? It's like when he talks about my phone call to Zelensky is a perfect phone call. What is a perfect phone call? What criteria does he use? Does it, this is perfect or that is perfect? That just shows you how full of shit he is.
Great cash, great buildings, great everything.
Trump was in Philadelphia.
What about those casinos? They were so great, they all went under. You got to be a stupid, stupid, stupid motherfucker to not be able to make a casino work. That is a cash register. That's why the mob was in on it for so many years. I mean, you've got to be a complete idiot in business to have a multiple casinos fucking fail. God.
Yeah, at Sneaker Con.
Oh, now here come the sneakers.
He was unveiling his own sneaker line, Trump sneakers, including this gold-colored, it's called the Never Surrender High Top Sneaker.
This gold sneaker is the ugliest fucking thing with a big T on it, of course, and some half-ass American flag. It's gonna crack my ass up to see these fucking rubes walking around with these sneakers on, $400 a pair. The ones that complain about the price of eggs and everything, even though all that shit's down now, and Biden has handled the inflation better than any other country. Any other country's leaders, our inflation is he's cut it more than in half. Unemployment, stock market, CHIPS Act, infrastructure. I mean, he has really done a good job. He's just too old, okay? And like I always say, the next Democrat will adhere to the same policies and everything like that. But to sit there and hawk sneakers to pay his legal bills. These are the fuckers who claim economic hardship, right? They sold out those fucking things in a couple of hours. $400 a pair. That's a week's worth of groceries to any like family of four, okay? But no, this is how fanatical these assholes are. Talking about how broke they are under Biden, we'll fork over $400 for a pair of Trump sneakers. Ugly-ass sneakers, or a piece of his suit. A couple $100 for that. Or just, he's raked in over $50 million from these fucking idiots to pay all his legal bills. The rest he gets from the RNC. I mean, he must be laughing all the way. Now, I'm not going to say to the bank. He's laughing away from the bank because he doesn't have to pay the bank. Oh, God.
On that website, which is selling those sneakers, apparently it sold out. Mm-hmm. It was selling for $399. Your thoughts?
And I could just see these fucking idiots when they get them in the mail, in their trailer parks, opening this shit, looking at these gold sneakers. Like,
ooh, the snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Yeah, they're just like pigs and shit. Hilarious.
Well, look, at one level, he wants to monetize whatever he can, and he wants to make money out of what's going on, even if it's costing him money in the courts. It's also...
That's his whole life.
Though part of the kind of MAGA swag that has...
You mean the grift.
...essential to his campaign and to creating kind of movement or fandom that makes his campaign different from many others.
I don't understand this about a politician. That's the fanatical part. About a politician, they treat him like he's like a rock star, or more their speed, like a popular wrestler, like Hulk Hogan. more along those lines. But to be so enamored with a politician, in my view, is just weird. Yeah, you can love politicians. You can say, hey, I love this. He's solid. Good for the country. Good leader. But to do the shit that make up songs and the gear and how they put his head on like a Superman-type body with a big flag and all this this fanaticism is just, it's sickening. It's not good for your brain, okay, to worship a politician like this who was celebrity beforehand, number one. Number two, lifelong Democrat till Obama came along. Gee, I wonder what the tipping point was there.
The sneaker by the hat, and it creates a form of attachment to him that other candidates actually can't replicate very easily.
Do you think he's going to rely a lot on his supporters to help raise money for him to
yes.
pay some of these penalties and legal fees that are ahead as well?
He'll try to get the money however he can. We're talking about significant amounts, and simply politically, it is going to be a challenge. So yes, the solicitations will continue, and smaller solicitations have been very important to him last time, and now even more because of his own troubles.
And who is it? I forgot to write. I think it's Justin Zellinger. If I remember correctly, probably not, though, because my short-term memory is shit these days.
You wrote an interesting piece titled How America Became Immune to Scandal, and that's what we're really seeing, right, especially with Trump's civil and criminal trials playing out.
They don't even matter. They don't even matter because it's their side. If it was a Democrat, just imagine a Democrat charged with 91 felonies, on top of it sexual assault, on top of it classified documents, and obstructing the FBI into getting them back. Can you imagine if a Democrat did that? I mean, they would be it would be a 24-hour loop of, oh my God, what has happened to this country? But no, with this, they just laugh everything off, pretend it's not real.
He just bolsters and reinvigorates his supporters.
Has the opposite effect. They love him more the more laws he breaks. Brilliant.
Why have at least so many of his supporters become so resistant to Trump's scandals?
Because they're fucking stupid.
Some of it's just broader, that scandals have diminished in terms of their impact in a country that's more polarized, where trust of government is very low.
Yeah, well, Trump always said, the reason I say shit about the media and about these institutions is if they ever come after me, then nobody will believe them because I put so much horse shit out there, paraphrasing now, but I put so much horse shit out there, nobody knows what to believe. And people who love me, they'll still love me.
Scandals are something people watch, but they don't necessarily have much of a political impact. We've become numb in some ways to one scandal after the other. And with Trump himself, he has found ways to turn the scandal into something of political value, to actually...
Well, that's what happens when you command a cult of idiots.
...define himself around constantly being attacked. So those things are all converging with, again, support for him, where the supporters are very loyal, and regardless of what happens to him or what he is found to have done, their support for him only gets stronger.
Yep.
Fuck him, and fuck you, and fuck the fucking horse you came in on, you fucking asshole!
Or assholes in this case, because, yeah, dumbest people that have ever inhabited this country, Trump's cultists. Oh, boy. But, you know, the Democrats have their share of fucking idiots, too, and especially and also in government, like that goddamn ugly bitch, Rashida Tlaib, even though it's Tlaib. That's how it's spelled. OK, listen, you could have silent letters in the English language. You can't switch them around. It's like Brett Favre. OK, F-A-V-R-E cannot be Favre. You can't. They don't switch. And just like T-L-A-I-B is Tlaib, not Tlaib. OK, so fuck this idiot for pronouncing her own name wrong. Whoever did that. I don't know. Maybe her ancestors. But she is calling for now Democrats to vote against Biden in primaries because she supports those terroristic fucks in Hamas.
Michigan also has a Democratic primary, which is getting some unexpected attention in this year's race for the White House. Michigan Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib is urging Democrats to vote against President Biden in the contest, which is a week away. Representative Tlaib.
Yeah, because she'd be much better off with someone like Trump, you know, because he cares about the Palestinians so much. He's a champion of Israel and Netanyahu, even though he is, I don't know, his relationship sour with Netanyahu, though, because Netanyahu dared, you know, welcome President Biden to the presidency and offered his friendship. So he called him a traitor. So, you know, Trump, who has always said that I will always support Israel and the Jews, and he went to that wall, that whole photo op bullshit, wouldn't be surprised if he's turned his back on Netanyahu. But I don't know. It's a tough one. But either way, if you are a congresswoman in America and you are telling people not to vote for the president, you're a fucking moron.
Tlaib is a Palestinian American who has previously expressed her dissatisfaction with the Biden administration's role in the Israel-Hamas war. In a post on the X account.
And I should say she's a moron, not because, you know, because I don't want to see Biden running either. Okay, but she's not doing it for that. She's not doing it because he's old or because she disagrees with any of the other policies. Just this one. Self-interest. She's Palestinian. Okay, well, I don't know. October 7th. Everything seemed to be quiet, and you went in and fucking they went in and, I don't know, killed 1,200 people, took a bunch of hostages, bunch of women from a concert, young women, sex trafficking. They turned, you know, they sold them, all that shit. So I don't know. It's really tough. You sit there and say, well, when is the retaliation over? Are you even yet or whatever? Or you just say, we're going to stop this now. Again, even though I hate Netanyahu and what he has done is, like I keep saying, exacerbated the situation. You can't do it like you can't support a group like Hamas. You just can't.
Listen to Michigan. She explained her stance.
This is the way you can raise our voices. Don't make us even more invisible. Right now, we feel completely neglected and just unseen by our government.
What are you talking about? You're not in fucking Gaza. You're here in America. Who is we? You represent a district in Michigan. Are the Palestinians there being murdered or put in camps or whatever? What the hell are you talking about?
If you want us to be louder, then come here and vote uncommitted.
Ugh. Shut that cunt's mouth or I'll come over there and fuck start her head.
Yeah, I don't even know why you'd want to. Her head. She looks like Mr. Potato Head or Mrs. Potato Head, whatever. You know, when you stick to all that shit. That's what she looks like. You know, that's just beside the point. The fact that she's an idiot and always has been an idiot. Soon as she got office, we're going to impeach the motherfucker to Trump before he even did anything. That's as stupid as Marjorie Taylor Greene saying she was going to introduce articles of impeachment on Biden the first day. That's just as stupid. She's just as stupid as Marjorie Taylor Greene. Just as radical, just as stupid.
Tonight, federal prosecutors say the former FBI informant, accused of spreading lies about Joe and Hunter Biden, has admitted that officials associated with Russian intelligence were involved in passing a story about the president's son.
Oh, gee, what a shock, huh? I mean, we talked about this guy. It was all a lie and everything, the cornerstone of the big impeachment. Now it turns out that the Russian intelligence was involved. Again, what a shock. And this is who Trump loves. This is who Tucker Carlson loves. This is, and of course, conservative dumb fucks just think, oh, God, more Russia. Well, if it wasn't for the vagueness of Mueller's report and his findings, Russia would have and should have been up Trump's ass. But anyway, this guy completely lied to everybody. And now, you know, idiots like Jim Jordan are trying to play this off. Oh, we didn't really listen to that guy. No. We got plenty of other evidence. No evidence. And this guy, again, was the cornerstone of their defense. They all mentioned it. Okay? I mean, hey, if a trusted FBI informant, if you're not going to listen to him, well, then you're just fucked in the head. No, turns out, massive liar.
The informant, Alexander Smirnov, was arrested last week and is being charged with lying to the FBI, claiming that the Bidens accepted a $5 million bribe from Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company where Hunter Biden once sat on the board.
Yeah, how many times have you heard that word? Especially you people who listen to Fox fucking entertainment channel, Burisma, huh? Yeah.
House Republicans have used that story as a justification in their efforts to impeach President Biden. Prosecutors now calling it a fabrication. In a new court filing, special counsel David Weiss describes Smirnov as a longtime FBI informant of 10 years who spoke with his handler nearly every day. And alarmingly, they note that his efforts to spread misinformation about a candidate of one of the two major parties in the United States continues.
Yeah, and this is why when Putin says, oh, I prefer Biden to the president. Yeah, it's a ploy. Okay, he wants Trump in there. He thinks if he says I prefer Biden, that people will vote against Biden because they know that he knows that Americans hate him. Again, he's not a dumb fuck.
In fact, Special Counsel Weiss claims that Smirnov was actively peddling new lies that could impact U.S. elections after meeting with Russian intelligence officials in November.
Yeah, see, they don't go into the machines or anything, okay? They do this shit, and they change hearts and minds. Not that it takes a lot to change the hearts and minds of Trump's cult. You know, as long as you say something bad about liberals, it's true in their minds.
Tonight, Smirnov is asking a judge to release him pending trial. But prosecutors called him a flight risk, saying he
had
access to more than $6 million and noting that his ties to foreign intelligence agencies could resettle him outside the United States if he were released.
Yeah, and another thing this cult does is, you know, they never trust the FBI or the CIA or anything when stuff like this happens. But if you did something to a Democrat or arrested a Democrat or launched an investigation into a Democrat, then they're doing their job. Then they're good people. If it's against a Republican, or especially Trump, they have been lifelong fucking liars, incompetent, after decades of service, you know, with unblemished records. Nope. They were always stupid, always corrupt, and always whatever. That's why those people make me sick.
What's so explosive about tonight's filing is that after his arrest last week, prosecutors claim that this informant allegedly told the FBI about new ongoing efforts by the Russians to impact the current 2024 presidential race.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors suggest the Russians are trying to spread more lies.
And how do people not believe this? I mean, they cheat in every Olympics, for Christ's sake. Another Russian skater was just suspended, you know, for competing or whatever, barred from competing in the next Olympics. They're always doping. He's always killing people. They always just deny it. But this, no, it's not them. Oh, my ass. Yeah, it's the liberals, of course. You know, it's not that I love Democrats, man. I just fucking hate Republicans. And I really hate Trump. Politician or not, I'd hate anyone who had his personality, the qualities that make up his fucking personality. I tell you, folks, that's why half of me is like, a part of me doesn't want Biden to run anymore so that we could beat Trump. A part of me wants Trump to win just so we're done with him, because if he, you know, doesn't decide to be a dictator and actually leaves office after two terms, which I can go either way, we'd be done with him. Because if he loses, he's going to run again. Doesn't matter how old he is. Those fucking lemmings will follow him no matter what. They talk about Biden and his age and his cognitive ability. If Trump ran again in 2028 when he was in his 80s, they'd say it was fine. So fuck them. But I just almost want to be done with it at this point. It's like the Kardashians. Please, just take it all away. All right, decompression time. Hey, I'll tell you, this Caitlin Clark from Iowa, women's basketball. I don't usually pay attention to women's basketball or women's sports, except for like track, the Olympics, you know, track and field and stuff like that. But this chick, I swear, when I started, I watched a little bit of basketball last year for the first time since like Jordan retired, you know, and the thing that I noticed was, wow, look at all the three-pointers, and look at how far behind the line some of these fuckers shoot the three-pointers. Like Steph Curry, he's fucking 10 feet behind that line. This chick does the same thing. Now, granted, she's a woman, so she has to shoot from her chest. You know, it's not like because women aren't as strong as male athletes, which is why it's unfair for males, anatomical males, to compete against women. But like guys, you know, they can do a regular form shot from back there. The chicks have to go from their chest, but this chick has mastered it, and she shoots 10 feet behind the three-point line from her chest, which is pretty fucking impressive, and she just broke the all-time NCAA record most points scored, and Charles Barkley and that idiot Shaquille O'Neal were talking about it.
Hey, history tonight, Caitlin Clark.
Oh, no, she did.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
Hey, she needed 8 to break the record, scored the first 8 points. Scored 49 on the night.
Yeah, 49 on the night. But you know what was funny? After she scored that record basket, they didn't stop play. They let them keep playing for like 45 seconds until change of possession. Usually, you know, when someone breaks a record like that, they just take an official timeout and stop play. You know, they did it when Walter Payton broke the single season rushing record at the time, which was 275. Against Minnesota. They did it again when Peyton broke Jim Brown's record. It wasn't a touchdown. They just called an official timeout, but they kept letting her play. Kind of took a little out of it, a little bit of the air out of it, if you ask me.
49. That's a heat check right there.
49?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, congratulations, Caitlin Clark. You are a monster, girl.
Yeah, she is a monster. Man, you know, I mean, a record like that, you got to give it respect whether you watch the sport or not. And like I said, that shooting, incredible. All right, a little bit as far as TVs and movie. True Detective, Night Country, it was a pretty cool ending. It got a little slow for a couple episodes there, but I, you know, spoilers here. I thought it was really cool that the Eskimo chicks went and killed all those fucking guys for poisoning their water and giving them all cancer and stuff. They had this supernatural angle for a while, and you're sitting there like, what the fuck? And then it turns out, you know, hey, cool group of chicks went and took the law into their own hands because the law would not help them as they're all dying. And they killed those motherfuckers. So I thought it was a pretty good show. I wish it was more than 6 episodes, though. But like I said, it was slowing down a little. But all these shows with the 6 episodes, come on. Give us at least 10 episodes if you're going to give us a show. And then a couple of movies. You know, I watched Wonka. I thought it was a hunk of shit. You know, it turns out, I mean, I fell asleep, number one, and I didn't even feel like going back to it after I woke up. But, you know, the whole story of before he got the chocolate factory, and it was just lame, in my opinion. Didn't go anywhere. Didn't interest me at all, Wonka. What did interest me that didn't get any recognition was Napoleon. And I tell you, I don't even like Joaquin Phoenix that much, to tell you the truth. I mean, he was great as the Joker. And I don't know, Commodus, he was all right. But and he was all right in 8mm as well. But I don't know, there's just something about that guy I don't like. But what was interesting about this movie is, you know how usually, like if it's a period piece, especially from a foreign country, they at least like do the accents or whatever, or let you know. Like, remember in Hunt for Red October, at the beginning, the guys were speaking all Russian. They go one guy, the political guy, to Sean Connery, and then they zoomed in on his mouth. And then when they zoomed out, he was speaking English again, you know, but they still had accents. Like in this one, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is Napoleon. In one scene, he's like, ready the cannons. You know, like it's totally American. I mean, at least ready the cannons or something, to do a fucking French accent or something. I mean, they just made all of these guys, pretty much, except for a couple of British accents, sound American. There was no French accent at all in the whole movie about Napoleon and the French army. And I tell you, that chick who played Josephine, I forgot her name, but she's fucking hot as hell. I'd love to do her. So, but that movie was 2 hours and 38 minutes, and I was much more entertained. I when I first saw it, I was like, oh God, movie didn't get that much recognition, box office, you know, 238. I was entertained. It was, I mean, they take liberties with the events, like, you know, Braveheart did it too and all that stuff, but yeah, it was still a very well-made, entertaining movie. All right, folks, we've come to the end of it here. You know we're going to go out with, oh my God, I saw an article the other day. Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys has dementia. You know, and now his family is filing for conservatorship, and I'm sure there's going to be a big fight, whatever. That guy, you know, he's had a long, hard road. He has always suffered from mental illness. It kept him from touring with the Beach Boys in their heyday. And it stopped him from writing eventually. I mean, you know, the surf and stuff. But he did have a lot of tunes in there that were groundbreaking with the Beach Boys. One of the things I remember the most is that it was the first time they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, I'm not saying I remember because I watched it. But when I saw the video on YouTube, it was the first time in the Ed Sullivan Show. And they did I Get Around, which we're going to go out with here. And when the camera zoomed in on him, you know, Brian singing, you know, the high part, you know, it was a really cool sounding voice, the high voice. And the camera zoomed in on him, and he looked at it like it was a Martian coming at him. He was so taken aback by it, and he kind of smiled, and he just knew, you know, we've made it. Sullivan and the camera is zooming in on me. I mean, it was probably the greatest moment of his life at that point. And you know me, I've always said this, folks, I love watching, even if it's old clips, the greatest moment in somebody's life. You know, it's really cool to see. And so they did a pretty good job there in their red striped shirts on Sullivan. So that's what we're going to go out with. And I feel really bad for the guy. I mean, all the mental illness and now dementia on top of it. So, hey, cheers, Brian Wilson. And here's I Get Around. And we'll see you folks next week. Later.
What the fuck was that you were listening to?
Round, round, get around, I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round, I get around.
I get around.
It's never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. I get around, round, 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 I get around.